The NBA schedule is out, so today I'm breaking down some of my favorite games on the schedule this year. The NBA schedule has dropped. Let's look at some of the most interesting matchups this coming season, starting with homecomings. I'm always excited to see stars return home. And the first one that I'm really looking forward to is Trae Young going back to Atlanta on November 6th. Obviously, he was a fan favorite there for many, many years. They get to a Western Conference Finals, and now he's gone. He's in Washington. And I think this could actually be a pretty good matchup. I think with the Wizards, as long as Trae Young and Anthony Davis are both healthy, with their young guys continuing to improve, we're going to see them face off against a Hawks team that, of course, they were up on the Knicks in the first round, were great in the second half last season, made some interesting offseason changes, tweaks to the roster. Rookie Kingston Fleming's hope maybe for them, the next guard, the successor to CJ McCollum. I'm excited for that matchup. I think that's going to be a good one earlier on in the season. December 25th, Christmas Day. Of course, that's the big day of the NBA season for a lot of people. That's when the NBA season begins. And LeBron James returning to Los Angeles on December 25th as the third game in a five-game slate that I love. Spurs versus Knicks to kick us off at noontime on Christmas Day. Heat versus Celtics. Giannis versus Tatum. I mean, we get a finals rematch to kick off the day. And then we get Giannis versus Tatum. We get LeBron versus Luka in the Lakers. Then Thunder versus Wolves. Could be a Western Conference Finals preview, if not a West playoffs preview. And then Nikola Jokic versus Stephen Curry. Kind of funny, Nuggets Warriors is the least interesting game of Christmas Day, but I think that tells you something about how good of a day it is. I wish they put a rookie debut matchup on Christmas Day at the end of the night instead, but we'll talk about the rookies a little bit later with their matchups this season. January 21st, we have to wait until next year, 2027, for Jaylen Brown to return to Boston. So I thought we might get this early in the season, but we're actually getting the opposite. On November 10th, we're getting Jaylen Brown hosting the Celtics in Philadelphia. That's going to be on NBC. Then on Prime on the 21st, that's when we're going to have Jaylen Brown return to Boston, emotional, going to have the video. They play again, the Sixers and the Celtics, that is, on February 7th, and then again in March earlier in the month. So that's going to be March 7th for that March game. Sixers Celtics. Could be amazing games. Heat Bucks. It's going to be a long wait for Giannis Antetokounmpo to make his return to Milwaukee January 28th. Got to wait for that as well. We do see Giannis with the Heat host the Bucks and Tyler Hero with his return to Miami on November 18th. February 6th, Portland, Memphis. So got to wait a while for Ja Morant to head back to Memphis. Who knows what those rosters could even look like by then. I think Portland and Memphis are both teams you could see them active come trade deadline time. Jaren Jackson Jr., opening week of the season, 10-21, Jaren Jackson Jr. will make his return to Memphis. So Grizzlies fans will get to experience that pretty earlier on the season, but they're going to have to wait for Ja Morant. LaMelo Ball with the Minnesota Timberwolves goes back to Charlotte on February 15th. And dude, like these two teams, I feel like Charlotte, a little bit underrated because of how important LaMelo was last year, but Coby White replacing him, some of the other additions they made. Charlotte could still be a playoff team this year, so I'm not souring on Charlotte just because LaMelo's not there anymore. And then with Minnesota, them on that French trip, Rudy Gobert posted a hype video the other day. I can't imagine what the chemistry is like for those guys together this year, especially losing the rain cloud in the locker room that is Julius Randle. So we get a lot of good matchups, a lot of good reunions this year with homecomings. And I think ultimately people get excited about playoff rematches, rivalries continuing. And we get Spurs Thunder at least three times this year. We'll see if they face off in the NBA Cup once again. But we get the Spurs Thunder October 20th, opening night. I am just fired up for this one, baby. I cannot wait. NBC, Spurs Thunder. They play again on February 11th on Prime, March 14th on ABC. We might get these teams. Who knows? They might play in the Cup again. They might play in the playoffs again. But Spurs Thunder, this is one of the league's, I think, true blossoming rivalries. And those games are going to just be true appointment television. And then Wolves Nuggets, we get them four times. These teams have faced off so many times over the years. And obviously the rosters have changed a bit, but still. You get Nikola Jokic against the Minnesota Timberwolves with that team, that group, Anthony Edwards, four times this year. December 28th on NBC. Again, December 31st, New Year's Eve on Prime. January 27th on ESPN, March 7th on ABC. Dude, I just think this year, when I look around the league, as I'm scrolling through the schedule and seeing all the primetime matchups and everything the league set up, I feel like the top of the league, without a doubt, we know there's a number of true, real finals contenders. But when you look through the league right now, I don't think there's that many teams that are trying to be bad. And that's in part because of the nature of the 2027 draft class, which isn't nearly as strong as we've seen in the last couple of years, especially this year with the Big Four, as we'll talk about with some of the primetime rookie matchups this season. But also, it's the relegation zone. The league changing the way the draft lottery works with the draft lottery balls, the bottom three teams, if they are in that zone, they have lower odds than teams that finish fourth to 10th. And so I think we have potential drama at the end of the year with a lot of teams trying to compete and make the playoffs, and then the teams that are out trying to compete to stay out of the relegation zone. And so I want to use the Sacramento Kings as an example when looking at the implications of the relegation zone here. Their last five games of the season, they face the Suns, they go to the San Antonio to face the Spurs, then they have a back-to-back against the Rockets, then they face the Mavericks. So they get the Texas Triangle games. All three of those teams could be really good. And then they face the Clippers last day of the regular season on Sunday, April 11th. And all 30 teams, by the way, are playing on the final day of the regular season. There's nobody playing on Saturday. They all have the day off on Saturday. But you look at these five games for the Sacramento Kings. If they have the third worst record in the league at that point, normally in the past, Kings fans would be rooting to lose all five of these games because you want to move up to get slightly better odds, slightly better positioning. Now, if you're a Kings fan and you're looking at the schedule of Suns, Spurs, Rockets, Mavericks, Clippers, I'd say that's at least two playoff teams. The Spurs, a finals contender. Rockets should be in it too. I think Mavericks have a good chance of being super competitive this year. The Suns have a good chance of being very competitive. And we'll see with the Clippers. I'm not overly optimistic about them. I think, in fact, they might be near the bottom as well. But for Sacramento, this is just one example. I'm not picking on Kings fans. This is just one example. Kings fans are going to be rooting for wins. And if these teams are incentivized to win at the end of the season to avoid the relegation zone, that makes these games harder as well for the teams on the other side of it. For Dallas trying to get into the play-in, or for Phoenix trying to hold on to the sixth seed, or for San Antonio trying to maintain the one seed. I think for all of these teams, by simply creating a punishment at the bottom of the league, you incentivize winning throughout and create better competition. And so I'm excited for that. And I think the NBA, when you look at the nature of the schedule this year with what they did with back-to-backs, the league this year, they set up a more, I think, healthy schedule overall. Teams are going to average 14.2 back-to-backs. That's down from 14.4 last year. And this is the lowest back-to-back average they've had since launching the NBA Cup. And the league noted that there's going to be, in the following games that I'm going to mention here, they're never playing the day before. So there are no back-to-backs on the day before. All opening week games, all NBA Cup games, all Christmas games, the four-game slate for Martin Luther King Day in January, the four-game slate on NBC for President's Day, the 10-game ABC Saturday schedule, the six-game ABC Sunday schedule, and the 16-game NBC Sunday schedule. And so that's a good sign, I think, in terms of cutting down back-to-backs. No team is going to be playing more than 16 back-to-backs. As I said, the average is 14.2. There's no instances of four games in five nights. There's no instances of eight games in 12 nights or 18 games in 30 nights. And so I think when you look at what teams have complained about to the league in the past, it's back-to-backs, it's four games in five nights, it's eight games in 12 nights. And there's no instances of that this year. And so I think overall the schedule is going to lead to more competition, healthier teams, more rested teams, on top of what we see with the relegation zone incentivizing winning at the bottom, as well as the natural competition that happens for teams going for the play-in, going for the playoffs. And so I'm excited for it, man. I mean, like, it's this year, obviously, with the rookies, there's plenty of reason to lose. That's for sure. Teams were very happy to lose games when you have a chance to take any of the guys who went in the top four. Of course, A.J. DeBonson to the Washington Wizards, and then with the second pick, Darren Peterson to the Utah Jazz, Cam Boozer to the Memphis Grizzlies, and Caleb Wilson to the Chicago Bulls. And so one of the first things I was looking for in the schedule when I looked at it was, when are these rookies playing? We get a matchup right away. Two of them, the first week of the season. Jazz at Grizzlies on October 21st. Darren Peterson versus Cameron Boozer. I can't wait. These are two of the funnest, I think, young teams in all of basketball. Utah and Memphis. I think both of these teams are going to be very competitive. They're both going to be pushing for the playoffs. And we get to see those rookies face off right away in what's going to be a fun matchup between Utah and Memphis. They're not contenders today, but they could be contenders 2 or 3 or 4 years and beyond from now. And I think this is hopefully could be the preview of or the beginning of maybe a rivalry between some of these young guys. Then on Saturday, we get Wizards at Bulls. A.J. DeBonson versus Caleb Wilson. Caleb Wilson, who looked like the number one pick in summer league. How quickly does this carry over to the NBA regular season? Is he just sinking threes opening week? A.J. DeBonson didn't really make many outside shots for the Wizards summer league team. How quickly does that translate? This is going to be a very good early season barometer. Will those guys defend each other as well? I think those two, we could see a rivalry brew between Caleb Wilson and A.J. DeBonson. In November, we get Grizzlies at Wizards. Cam Boozer versus A.J. DeBonson. I mean, I had Boozer ranked first on my board. Him landing in Memphis. I think Memphis is going to be very competitive. DeBonson was one for me most of the year. I still think he's an awesome prospect. Don't get me wrong, and I can't fault the Wizards for taking him number one. I think for them and their team, he's a perfect fit. A perfect fit between what they have in the front court with Anthony Davis and Alex Starr and what they have in the back court with Trae Young and Trey Johnson and Keyshawn George. DeBonson was the right pick for Washington, just as Cam Boozer was the right fit for Memphis. And so I think both of these teams, with Washington, with their mix of youth and vets, and then Memphis, they're very young overall, besides Jeremy Grant. That's pretty much, and Ty Jerome, that's pretty much their only veterans. I think both these teams are going to be competitive. And so I look forward to that one. In December, we get Peterson versus Wilson, Jazz at Bulls on December 16th. On February 27th, we get the matchup that I was rooting for early in the year, but maybe by February, these guys will both be comfortable in the NBA and it'll be worth the wait. Wizards at Jazz, A.J. DeBonson versus Darren Peterson. These guys have already had a rivalry going back to high school. They had it in college, and now we get to see it resume in the NBA. I hope both those teams are competitive. I hope it's a fun game between two good teams and not just two, you know, bottom feeders with fun young players. And I think that's what this is what we're shaping up for. All these matchups are good. March 13th, we get Cam Boozer versus Caleb Wilson again. It was always fun when those guys faced off between Duke and UNC. Grizzlies, Bulls, these are fun young rosters. And so, I mean, that's just the top four. I mean, never mind like all the other rookie matchups that we're going to get this year. When I look at some other random games that stand out to me, I think you look at Halliburton returning to Oklahoma City, the scene of the crime where he tore his Achilles on February 5th. That's going to be an emotional night, I'm sure, for him. I hope to God he is healthy and having a great season. I hope Indiana is thriving, and I hope that game between the Pacers and Thunder is a must-watch game that night. And for people who were there in the arena, if you're living there in Oklahoma City, for any of these games for that matter, day of, you decide to go to the game, be sure to check out the Game Time app. That's where you can get games easy on the last minute. That's where I get my tickets when I need to on the last minute for concerts and for games. And then for any of these, Washington at Dallas on March 11th, we get the number one pick battle, A.J. DeBonson versus Cooper Flagg. And then we get Anthony Davis returning to Dallas. This is like low-key, in my opinion, kind of interesting. How will Mavericks fans receive him, considering he was the guy that they got back for Luka and the horrible Nico Harrison deal? I don't know. Maybe there's not much of a boo or a cheer or anything like that. Maybe it's just a muted response, right? Like it is for most players who are incoming from the opponent. But I look forward to that one. But more than anything, the A.J. DeBonson versus Cooper Flagg battle of the number ones. That's going to be a fun one. Speaking of Cooper Flagg, Cooper Flagg versus Con Knipple on January 19th on NBC and February 11th on Amazon Prime. Number one and number two in Rookie of the Year voting last year. Luka, he makes a return to Dallas on February 28th. And so that's the night I'm sure a lot of Mavericks fans are looking forward to. I'm curious about you guys. What stood out to you of the games I mentioned, but also of the games you saw when you were looking at the schedule? Leave a comment on YouTube or Spotify. I'd love to know what games you're looking forward to seeing live, whether you're watching on TV, or whether you actually want to go to the game. Those are the games that stand out to me. Let me know in the comments what you guys think. All right, up next, I'm going to continue my NBA entertainment rankings and talk about my next two teams, the Clippers and the Warriors. All right, let's continue my NBA entertainment rankings. And as I've talked about before, these entertainment rankings are not just league pass rankings. It's not just talking about the product on the floor. It's not just power rankings, talking about the contenders. We can do that at a later time. This is more of a big overview. You're following the league. You're listening to my podcast and other shows. You're watching TV. Who are you most entertained by? Period. For different reasons. Who's contending? Who's competing? Who has stakes? Who's a star you want to tune in to watch? Who's got a bright future? Who do you want to invest in early? How's the product on the floor? The X's and O's. Are they a fun team to watch? Is this team also, do they have chaotic potential? Could they be a fun train wreck to watch? So far, from what I've had, is number 30, the Brooklyn Nets. Number 29, the Milwaukee Bucks. Number 28, the Sacramento Kings. Number 27, Phoenix. Number 26, New Orleans. Up to number 25, the Los Angeles Clippers. This came out lower. When I was scoring these categories for these teams, the Clippers, to me, there's no stakes with this roster. You look at this Clippers team, Brook Lopez, Rui Hachimura, assuming the Kawhi deal goes through, Brandon Ingram, Keaton Wagler, Darius Garland. This isn't a playoff team in the West. This isn't even a play-in team in the West. They're not really competing for anything that this roster isn't. So I think you look at the star gravity. Are you tuning in to watch Brandon Ingram? Are you tuning in to watch Darius Garland? No. Like, this is bottom of the barrel in terms of star gravity. The future of this team, I like Keaton Wagler. I like Yannick Niederhauser. I like Kobe Sanders. I like Baba Miller. I like some of the young guys, but they're okay in terms of young guy upside. The product on the floor, I don't know what this is going to look like. I have concerns about this team being competitive. I have concerns about this team from a ball movement perspective. There's a lot of sticky hands on this roster. I have concerns from a spacing perspective. I think it could be ugly, but we'll see what Ty Lue can pull out. The reason why this team is in last is the chaos potential. It's because of the aspiration investigation and everything going on there and all the drama that is surrounding this team. That's what pulls them up to 25. Otherwise, I think this is one of the blandest teams in basketball. Just being totally honest, nothing against you Clippers fans. I don't get excited about this roster, period. I think they're a very boring team overall. It's the off-court stuff that makes them interesting right now, with the chaotic potential of suspensions, fines, draft picks being removed, and how that therefore influences the product of the team as a whole. Now, that said, I do think Ty Lue, being the great coach that he is, could turn this into something. I do think the Clippers, with these collection of guys, they do have a lot of solid names. I mean, maybe they become a fun team to watch. And if you're a Clippers fan, that's what you got to hope for. You got to hope Ty Lue can take these names and make them fun and make them interesting and make them play a selfless style of play. You got to hope that Keaton Wagler, he becomes the true number one reason to watch this team. Does Keaton Wagler look like a star? Keaton Wagler, last year at Illinois, an unexpected one and done. Nobody thought he'd be the NBA draft this year. Nobody thought he'd be a top five pick. Never mind just in the draft. Never mind being a guy that would declare. Top five is insane for him. And obviously he stunk at the start of summer league, and then he had some good moments. And so I think with him being paired with Darius Garland in the backcourt, he's got some support. Even having Brandon Ingram and Chris Dunn and Kobe Sanders and other guys like that who can do stuff with the ball in their hands, I think that alleviates the pressure off of him and can also put him in situations where he can both thrive on the ball and without the ball. And so I like the fit for Keaton Wagler, and I'm optimistic about what he can be in his long term, but we'll see how it looks earlier in his career. And if he becomes a guy that makes you want to turn on your TV, because he certainly became that at Illinois a lot last season, we'll see how it translates. Up next, The Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors. If I had done these rankings every year since I've, you know, been in sports media since 2013, that was my first year. The 2012-13 season was my first year. I tacked on at the end of that when I started writing for Celtics Blog. I think even back then, the Warriors wouldn't have ranked this low. But after the whole era they had and all the fun times and all the competing and everything else, this has got to be the lowest they've been, at least in my time covering the NBA, because this team is not a contender. Period. They're not. We've already seen reporting around this team that Stephen Curry and Draymond Green acknowledged that they're not contenders. The reason to tune into the Warriors is Stephen Curry. I mean, that's why they still have so many national TV games. That's why we're going to see Golden State on national TV a lot this year, maybe too much. I would argue it's a bit much on Christmas Day. I'd rather see a young guy get put on that stage, but that's just me. I mean, look, it's still appointment television to watch Steph. That's, again, why Golden State rises up the ranks here. We get Spurs at Warriors on January 30th. Wemby versus Steph, KD and the Rockets. He makes his return to Golden State if he decides to on March 7th against Steph. Steph faces LeBron on March 24th and March 31st. So we get some late season games. Like, those are March games for the KD matchup and both LeBron matchups. What's Golden State even going to look like by then? I think that's a legitimate question for this roster, because I think for them, there is real chaos potential for the Golden State Warriors. That is, to me, I think, one of the intriguing aspects with them. Would I say they're a 10 out of 10 chaos potential? I don't think so. Are they a 6, a 7 chaos potential? Something along those lines, I'd say, with Golden State. And you really couldn't have said that any other year. Even the year Steph got hurt, that was just injury. This chaos potential is the fact that you have Draymond Green coming back on a one-year deal, acknowledging on his podcast the possibility of being traded. The Warriors tried to trade him in February. That's a possibility. Him and Jaxel Lindenborg, how will that relationship develop? It's been, you know, a little weird over social media and whatnot over the course of the summer. I'm sure it'll be fine. It's just, you know, they're just kind of nagging at each other over their podcast and Jaxel's Twitch stream, but we'll see how it manifests. Of course, actually in the locker room, hopefully no punches thrown by Draymond. Kristaps Porzingis, hey man, like, I'm rooting for him to stay healthy, but POTS seems pretty serious, and I don't know if he's going to be able to stay on the floor. And Steph Curry, of course. The Warriors, I mean, Mike Dunleavy, their general manager, what a weird press conference he had in Golden State this week. He was asked about Steph's long-term future with Golden State and gave an answer about how, yeah, I feel confident Steph's going to be here long-term. He hasn't said anything to me about trade demands or anything like that. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. You're getting into this. And he continued talking about it. And he's like, yeah, if Steph makes a trade demand, we're going to have to listen and talk about it. He deserves to go where he wants to go. It's like, you didn't have to keep talking. You could have stopped that. He hasn't said anything to us. We feel confident that he's going to be here for the rest of his career. But Dunleavy really opened the door for Warriors podcasts and local radio stations to talk about what's going to happen with Stephen Curry. Because to me, my read is what he said, that there's no indication that Steph is going to ask out, but, and this is really what matters most here, Stephen Curry himself has talked about the desire to continue competing. Stephen Curry himself had joked earlier in the year about asking his father, Dell Curry, if he could wear number 30 if he played in Charlotte. Stephen Curry is in a position still in his late 30s where he's still one of the 5 to 10 best players in the NBA. And if Golden State is making no effort to really contend, I do think there's a real possibility of him deciding, you know what? They traded Draymond. Maybe that happens in December or January. They traded Draymond. There's nothing here for me anymore. There's nothing here. Because to me, when I look at the Warriors and Stephen Curry, I feel like the breakup's already happened on the Golden State Warriors front office ownership side of things. It's very clear Joe Lacob wants to rebuild. He wanted to rebuild going back to the two timelines when they took James Wiseman and Jonathan Kuminga. He's wanted to rebuild a long time. That 2022 championship was very fortunate for them. And now you have a team with old Draymond, old Steph, Kristaps Porzingis, Al Horford, old slash injury prone. Yaxel, I'm very happy with him. Podziemski, I like him more than most Warriors fans do. Santos, he's a solid bench guy. And Jimmy Butler, who can miss the entire year with a torn ACL, and Moses Moody, who is in all likelihood going to miss the entire year and possibly miss parts of next year too. This Warriors team is not a contender at all. There's no chance of them contending unless they decide to cash in their future picks, and all indications are they won't. And so I think the number one reason to tune into the Warriors this season on pods and reading about them and just keeping your ear to the ground with them is the chaos potential. And that's a sad thing to me. The number one reason to watch the Warriors should purely be about the basketball on the floor with what this team could be. And maybe they become that. Maybe Yaxel Lendeborg is great right away as a rookie. Maybe Kristaps Porzingis stays healthy. Maybe Podziemski takes a leap. Maybe Jimmy Butler comes back in January and he's one of those guys who returns from injury and he's himself right away. And maybe the Warriors come February, things turn around and they're like, you know what? Let's make a trade. Someone became surprisingly available. Maybe that's what this Golden State story will be about, where we do lead to the Warriors making a deal. We do lead to the Warriors playing competitive playoff games. And we do lead Stephen Curry and Draymond Green playing their entire careers in one place. I think that would be awesome. And bring Klay Thompson back too while you're at it. I think that would be the ideal way that this goes. That's what I want to happen. That's what I've wanted to happen in the last year and a half, when I've been writing about and talking about the idea of trading away Draymond Green and trading away Stephen Curry. That thought is rooted in my desire for this team to actually do something and make a move to bolster their chances of winning a fifth ring. And the fact that all of their actions have shown otherwise, it's what's so frustrating for me as a Warriors observer. And I just can't imagine how infuriating it is as a true Warriors fan. And so I can't say I feel for Warriors fans, because I know what it's like as a Patriots fan to have experienced so much success and have enough rings to last a lifetime. I don't feel for you. You guys have experienced more good than most fans ever will in their entire lifetimes, 2, 3, 4 times over. But in this current moment, I do wish it was better for you, Warriors fans. That's it for the entertainment rankings today. We're going to resume on Monday. I got Trey Kirby coming on the show. Trey Kirby and I talked about a number of different teams, including his Chicago Bulls. We're going to continue talking about my entertainment rankings. Maybe there'll be some more news by then. I mean, we're due. When are we going to get something with Peyton Watson or Jalen Duren or Jonathan Kuminga? I mean, LeBron made his decision and nothing's happened. Nothing's happened. Nothing. If you missed my podcast on Wednesday, I talked about the Lakers sale. I talked about the Lakers sale and Russell Westbrook retiring. So rewind to Wednesday if you want to hear some stuff about that. Thank you to Emmy and the team for producing today's episode. Thank you to you for giving us a listen. Have a good weekend, everybody. Talk to you on Monday.